Coming up a little bit later on this hour, we're going to hear from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. I'll be honest. We may get the, obviously we've seen reports out there, but that deal's not done yet, so I can't really comment. So we're going to hear from Andy and Mahomes later this hour, but I don't know if we're going to get much from them on DeAndre Hopkins yet. But we all know multiple reports, and DeAndre Hopkins is headed to Kansas City. But let's go to Nashville and find out who exactly the Chiefs are getting at this point in his career, and how did this trade come together some more. Will Bowling, he hosts over at 104.5 The Zone in Nashville. He's kind enough to give us some time this morning. Will, thanks for coming on the show, man. Did you guys expect DeAndre Hopkins to get traded at some point, I assume, but were you surprised now into Kansas City?
Hey guys, appreciate you having me. There's not a surprise that DeAndre Hopkins is out. I think we can start there, because this team, you know, at 1-5 to start the season, has not lived up to expectations that we thought, you know, were possible for a team that we thought could maybe, you know, be in the back end of the AFC playoff picture. Maybe a lot of young pieces could be better than a lot of, you know, national personalities expected. But it's been worst case scenario here. And after Sunday's game in Buffalo, where DeAndre Hopkins has one catch on one target for -2 yards, none of us, I think, were surprised this morning. To me, the Hopkins situation is different from the other stars that may be offloaded here closer to the trade deadline. Guys, this to me feels like a move that was facilitated by DeAndre Hopkins' camp, maybe more so than the Titans organization looking to offload him, and I think it really materialized quickly after a really frustrating performance, and especially second half that didn't really include Hopkins at all on Sunday in Buffalo.
So how do you make a judgment about the level of play? Do you just look at last year's tape and be like, that's what Hopkins is? Does he look any different? Because Will Levis stinks, man. I mean, I don't have to tell you. Yeah. I mean, it's fairly obvious that you can't judge a wide receiver if a quarterback can't throw.
It's totally fair. And to be honest with you, DeAndre Hopkins has been a model citizen both on and off the field here in Tennessee. And last year, there were no concerns at all. I mean, 75 catches, over 1,000 yards, 7 touchdowns. Like, the good moments that Will Levis had last year that led a lot of us to believe he could take a step this season and maybe be the guy were because DeAndre Hopkins helped make him that. So I think you have to start there when you evaluate Hopkins. At 31 years old last season, the Titans, by all accounts, had the worst offensive line in football last season. Yet Hopkins was still open enough, quickly enough, even when there's a defender draped all over him, to still get to 1,000 yards. I don't think there was enough conversation, guys, nationally, about how good Hopkins was within this offense because of how bad the quarterback situation was with 3 different starters last season and how bad the offensive line was. But this season, it's just been a little bit different, and the Titans brought in Calvin Ridley, and it almost felt like Will Levis and this organization have overcorrected so much because they invested their long-term future in Calvin Ridley that they forgot really who made them successful under their quarterback last season, which was Hopkins. And I think they kind of went too far away from Hopkins to just try to make Ridley be the guy. But at the same time, part of that is DeAndre's fault, because DeAndre Hopkins had an injury in preseason. He had a knee problem. He went to California to rehab. And within that time of over about a month where Hopkins was not in town, was not with the team, was not there day-to-day with Will Levis, the team kind of moved on without him a little bit in preseason. And when Hopkins came back, he wasn't the same guy. He was not immediately there in the lineup. The former first-round pick Treylon Burks was having more snaps than him, which should not be happening by any stretch of the imagination. And to be quite honest with you, DeAndre didn't seem like a guy that knew the playbook all that well when he got back. So while, yes, he's been a model citizen off the field, and I have a lot of positive things to say about his time here, at the end, I think that it just hasn't been that same level of cohesion and connection with him and the quarterback. And I think that month he had off from that knee problem in preseason really played a big role in that.
We're talking to Will Bowling from 104.5 The Zone in Nashville. You mentioned the injury maybe impacting just the playbook and the chemistry. What about the actual injury itself? Are the Chiefs, like, if they want a guy to pass a physical, he'll pass a physical, and obviously he's going to, but is the knee actually a concern?
No, I don't think so. Honestly, to guys, I think DeAndre Hopkins on Sunday in Buffalo had the same ailments as Amari Cooper in Cleveland and Devontae Adams in Vegas. You know, I just, that was such an interesting topic of conversation. It was like lower leg soreness, I think, was what they gave us coming out of that game in Buffalo. And my co-host Ramon Foster is the sideline reporter for Titans Radio. And what he saw on the sidelines was not a player that went into the injury tent and was hurt on Sunday. It was a guy that had his helmet on but was disconnected from the rest of the skill position guys as the team was moving down the field. And that's what happened on Sunday. DeAndre Hopkins had his helmet on. He looked like he was ready to go back in the game, but he was not moving with the other skill position guys as the drive moved down the field, which told us that they'd made a decision and determination before the drive even started that Hopkins was not getting in the game, you know, in the fourth quarter down by 17 when you're throwing the ball a lot. So for whatever reason that really was, maybe it was lower leg soreness. Maybe it's the fact that they, you know, saw a move coming and didn't want to get a guy hurt because they wanted to make this trade. For me, it feels more like a guy that just kind of wasn't super motivated to go back in the game because he was frustrated by how poorly the Titans were moving the ball. And honestly, you can't really blame him. The Titans had 11 total yards in the third quarter on Sunday and that loss to Buffalo. So I don't blame him for being frustrated and feeling like that was kind of the last straw either.
Yeah, I guess like if it looks at it, if you're saying he was a model citizen up to that point, I look at it more as like the Titans protecting a trade asset than I guess the other way around at that point. Because if DeAndre's, they knew he was going to move him at some point because of their investment in Ridley, why risk his injury? I guess the real question is, we always ask this on the flip side, so I'll ask you. Do you think the Titans got enough value for DeAndre Hopkins? Is a fifth-round pick that turns into a fourth if the Chiefs get to the Super Bowl enough?
I think it is, honestly. I mean, for a 32-year-old wide receiver who I do not think was going to be here moving forward, I think it's definitely a good enough value for this team. And look, Rand Carthon, this organization, they've drafted fairly well over these last two cycles. I mean, they've got a guy in Jarvis Brownlee right now, rookie out of Louisville, who's starting for them at corner for the injured Chidobe Awuzie, who is a day three pick. And it feels like they actually now have a new front office structure that is better at pinpointing talent on day three and finding gems late in the draft. And you know, you guys will understand the gravity of making this comparison, but that's a guy in Jarvis Brownlee who wants to become kind of another L'Jarius Sneed type. Very similar skill sets coming out of the draft and a really physical, hard-nosed, man coverage, in-your-face corner that they hope he can turn into. So all that to say, I do think that this was good enough for the Titans. You could make the argument, you know, could they have waited for more teams to enter the market? You know, is Tampa Bay motivated to get in on this and to maybe bring up that price a little bit? I don't necessarily think so, because I think the Titans at this point, you know, clearly have a good relationship with Kansas City as it is as well via the L'Jarius Sneed trade and these organizations doing business together. So I think it makes sense for both sides. And I think honestly, you know, we talked about it last week on our show. We felt like a fifth round pick was about as good as it was going to get for a guy that is not producing, is on pace for about a 500 yard season, maybe this year in Hopkins. So given some of the, you know, the slow starts and just the lack of connectiveness that he's had in this offense, I think a fourth or fifth kind of ballpark pick is about right.
Will, appreciate the time, man. Great insight on DeAndre Hopkins, who is likely to officially become a Chief maybe later on today. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. Happy to do it. Thanks.
There you go. Will Bowling from 104.5 The Zone in Nashville joining us, covers the Tennessee Titans. Good insight talking about kind of the injury was what I was most interested about. And it sounds like
he's got a case of the old, like,
which is great.
Oh, knee sore because his team stinks. Got a case of the team stinks.
That the injury impacted maybe the relationship with Will Levis in terms of and getting in this offense and game plan and things like that. But being disconnected on the sideline, if that's the case,
Can you blame him?
1-5 football team. Your quarterback is Will Levis selling mayo perfume out there. He's terrible. Now Mason Rudolph's throwing you the football. I don't blame him one bit. I'm just happy to hear that. Like, no, it's he just doesn't look right because of the knee. That's not what we heard. We heard that the knee is probably fine. Just he missed the offseason and he's on a crappy football team and wants out. So that is definitely the Amari Cooper, Devontae Adams type of thing. Suddenly that knee is going to feel great. If this morning it feels great.
I was surprised. Like, one of the things he had talked about that maybe I hadn't factored into the low production for DeAndre Hopkins is they started to try to get to their new man. They spent all that money on Calvin Ridley. He's their future, right? He's a wide receiver in their 20s and they got $20 million plus dollars a year.
New head coach
heading
too,
towards new head coach. And they're like, well, we're going to make it work with this guy. and then somebody falls out of favor all of a sudden. Last year, with Will Levis throwing him the ball in a not good offense with a bad head coach, he had 1,000 yards. Look, I don't think he's DeAndre Hopkins from 4 years ago, but I don't think he's fully washed either.
No.
I think that would just be kind of insincere to think that way. But also, you heard the guy from Nashville saying, it's not really necessarily been the case. Has he been playing as much as we thought? No. But also, like, that's just the reality of where they are. I mean, that didn't make me feel worse about the deal. Also, just remind, I almost asked him, like, I don't feel like people are real happy about that luxurious trade there in Tennessee. So, but I didn't want to rub salt in the wound. Unnecessary, you know?
We have to break early because we're going to hear from Rita Mahomes later this hour. Otherwise, yes, that was on my mind. I almost squeezed in one last question, like, hey, what do you guys actually think about luxurious Sneed with the making trades with the Chiefs? The first one has worked out very nicely for Kansas City based on what they're getting from Sneed. Now, good for Sneed. The whole, he got paid. That's what he wanted.
Correct.
He already got the rings and he got paid. He's not having a great year. He's also just on a bad football team. And he's not with Steve Spagnuolo anymore. That has probably contributed, but appreciate Will for joining us. Up next, though, we'll keep talking about DeAndre Hopkins getting traded to Kansas City. Any new details on that? Plus, who else could be coming back for Kansas City later on this year? There's a chance that the perfect scenario could come together. We'll get to that next here on Cody and Gold. Back here on Cody and Gold, coming up in 25 minutes, expected to hear from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. Obviously, the news of the day, DeAndre Hopkins expected to officially become a member of the Chiefs perhaps today, but all reports are that he is on his way to Kansas City. Maybe this afternoon they would like to get him, according to James Palmer, up to speed and have him play on Sunday out in Las Vegas against the Raiders. We'll see on all that. I don't know if Andy Reid's going to talk about DeAndre Hopkins or not, but you'll hear him.
Maybe it'll become official sometime in the next 10 minutes.
That's an optimistic way to look at it.
And then he can say whatever he wants.
We might have to wait till Friday. Like Friday or after the game Saturday, honestly, or a Monday's press conference or something like that to find out. It isn't official, so technically they're not allowed to comment on the player, so it wouldn't surprise me if that's what they lean on, and we don't get much. But you can still ask Patrick Mahomes, hey, what do you think of just DeAndre Hopkins as a football player and how he might fit in on your team?
Hypothetically, you know, if you maybe have heard.
So we'll hear from both of them. Yeah. Obviously, an exciting day in Kansas City. No matter where you're at on what D-Hop is now or not, I think we all recognize they had to go out and get a receiver, get some help. They get to help the receiver room while only giving up a fifth-round pick. To me, that in its own right is a massive win. And then it's still someone that, after hearing from Will Bowling in Nashville, I feel better about my biggest concern, Cody, was just, if there was any, was the injury part. I love the compensation they give up. I think he's clearly their top target other than Travis Kelce in this offense now. Based off of what they're trying to accomplish, all of that, my one concern was, hey, he's this partially torn MCL injury from the offseason. Is that still a thing? But Will Bowling just told us, no, he's healthy. He was playing with Will Levis is what it was.
Yeah, I mean, that would make me also not want to play football, so I understand, because he stinks, but at least it makes some sense. I was worried about that, too. He was obviously hurt before the season, but he's been available outside of that. They just didn't use him at all in the fourth quarter last game when they were trailing by 17, and they obviously knew they were going to trade his ass.
Yeah.
So, like, that's a whole different part of the problem.
It will never happen, but, man, I would... If Andy Reid would just say, when he's asked about Hopkins, like, it's starting to smell like mayo in here a little bit more, just leave it at that. It'd be an incredible
comment. He's never going to take a shot at Will Levis.
It would be an incredible comment.
Never going to
do that. Or if Patrick said, yeah, there's some mayo smell in the building.
I'm going to be honest.
Oh, it'd be so good.
The only coach that would say something about it is if Will Levis was gone out of Tennessee and he was like, man, thank goodness it smells a little bit different in this locker room. Brian Callahan would unleash. He'd be so happy.
There's one coach, actually, that would say, if Hopkins got traded to Philly, one arrogant, smart-ass coach would actually say it, and that is Nick Sirianni. He would actually be the coach that would make that comment.
Yeah, Andy's never going to be like, I bet D-Hop's real happy Will Levis isn't throwing to him anymore. He's not going to say that. I wish he would. Be way more entertaining for me, and it's also the truth.
Yeah,
but I don't think that's the case.
Look, I don't think so.
They had to make this move because of the wide receiver injuries. There was a report earlier today that maybe, I want to emphasize, that they have to get like 17 more scans before you know whether or not Hollywood Brown will actually be available by the end of the season. So maybe Hollywood Brown would be ready for the playoffs. But it had me wondering, because there are people who will come back for injury, not at wide receiver, so we know DeAndre Hopkins is going to have to make that plan. Charles Omenihu looks like he'll have his window open here soon. Isaiah Pacheco, the original estimate was 10 weeks. That was in week two. We're now heading into week eight of the NFL season. So we got to be getting close there too, maybe inside of a month. Who do you actually think will be the bigger impactful player to come back for the Chiefs when they do? Because Charles Omenihu and Isaiah Pacheco are coming back. Who will matter to this team more? They obviously need more help on offense. Let's just face reality here.
Yeah.
That's why they're trading for DeAndre Hopkins. But the pass rush is maybe the only part of the defense where I'm like, I wouldn't mind seeing a little more juice there. And Charles Omenihu could provide that.
Yeah, the answer is Omenihu. Because between Pacheco and Omenihu, I've seen them replace Pacheco to a certain extent.
Yeah, Kareem Hunt's been really good.
He's been good. Now, I can't wait till Pacheco's back because I don't know if Kareem Hunt can carry this workload, as I've said, through the playoffs. So having Pacheco with him, it's going to be great for both of them. But I also saw Charles Omenihu last year have, what, 6.5 sacks? So if all of a sudden you're getting that kind of player to go with Chris Jones, to go with Karlaftis, to go with Mike Dana, to go with Turk Wharton, that defense gets a fresh set of legs late in the year to an already elite defense. Yeah, that has a chance to elevate them even more and allow them to mask maybe what is suddenly a secondary that maybe we find out has more problems if without Jalen Watson. I don't know. So that's why I would still say Omenihu more than a running back coming back. And that's, by the way, that's a credit to Kareem Hunt. That's why I'm able to say that. It's only because Kareem Hunt has been as effective as he has been.
No, that's partially it is that. But also, I am really, truly interested because I told you earlier, I think this team has an identity. That's why DeAndre Hopkins is a good fit into it. The team has an identity. They know how they run the ball. They like to run the ball. They're doing more inside the tackle running than they've done at any point under Andy Reid, all these things. The idea that they might actually have two running backs who can effectively work in that scenario intrigues me greatly because it only strengthens their identity. Defensively, they are who they are. We know that. We're good. We feel good about it. The pass rush, because Chris Jones is an absolute monster, has been effective for a majority of the year. Maybe not perfect, but effective for a majority of the year. I think Omenihu is the answer, Gold. Like, I'm with you. I think he's probably the answer for the more impactful player. But he's also coming off of, I think, a more, like, explosive injury, right, than maybe Pacheco. As in,
I don't know, man.
It's tough because he's a running back and those things.
Running back and I had pins in my ankle and I'm cutting. I don't know, man. We'll see.
I know. Like, I think maybe, right, it's probably comparable depending on the position of the positions they play.
But ACL injuries, players, not to downplay it. It's a long road and I'm sure Omenihu's worked his ass off through rehab and everything.
And he's pretty much just telling us all, I'm going to dunk on your ass if you down me for
that.
half a second.
Look, I'm sure Pacheco will be ultra motivated when he comes back too. But Charles Omenihu, would not be the first defensive lineman to come back, 9 months? Nine months after an ACL injury and be able to have an impact. Now, is Charles Omenihu going to be 100% of the player that he was last November? No. I mean, he still won't be a full year removed from the ACL. We always hear this, no matter what position it is, it takes the next year. But he's going to add a boost to this defense when he comes back, and hopefully it's a little bit before Thanksgiving.
Well, and we've never really seen Isaiah Pacheco in a split backfield in the sense that, like, what if it is 60-40? Maybe he's got more juice. They're both fresher. They both, I think there could be this, power dynamic in the running game I haven't probably seen since they were, splitting carries between Thomas Jones and Jamal Charles. And I know that they're not that level of player, but, they haven't had...
Neither one's going to punch each other, either.
No.
Jones.
It's still offensive to me that they started Thomas Jones an entire season when they had Jamal Charles...
You don't want to get punched by Thomas Jones.
...on their roster.
Still wouldn't. 10 years later or whatever, to 15 years later, still wouldn't want to get punched.
Million years ago.
By Thomas Jones.
Yeah. But I think there's a chance that Pacheco could actually end up being this answer. If you made me bet, Omenihu, they need another defensive lineman. Felix Anudike Uzama has been playing fine. I don't want to downplay the fact that I don't think he's stunk, okay? That's not what I think has existed there. But he's fine. He's been a rotational defensive line player, probably on par with that of the early days of Michael Dana. When he was an effective rotational, I'd like to see more and more growth for the first round pick that he is. But he's gotten better. The growth is good. I'll take it. But they could use one more highly impactful. Because if he's last year's Charles Omenihu at any point, then Karlaftis Jones and last year's Charles Omenihu, that's a real pass rush. That's can cause damage at any point in the game and can cause problems for you at any point in the game. I like that. So there's a better chance. I just wonder, when you talk about that ACL in a full year, he just bounce back from that? Like, I don't, you know, Charles Minnehue deleted a tweet, I think is what it was. But, like, he had some stuff that maybe seemed like maybe the Chiefs were offering.
I'm glad you brought up social media for a second. Thank you for bringing up Twitter. Did you see we all dropped the ball on something? We all, and I would have thought, you know, you're a little more locked into hashtag Swifties than I am.
Mm-hmm.
If we would have been tracking that, we would have known days ago that DeAndre Hopkins was coming to Kansas City. We, admittedly, I apologize, we dropped the ball. We should have known 4 days ago that DeAndre Hopkins was coming to Kansas City. Did you see what the Swifties have dug up? I thought they would have notified us of this.
Yeah, I thought that we were in a, like, you gotta pass along information.
I thought we were aligned. No. So on Instagram 4 days ago, there was a video of DeAndre Hopkins with his family, all wearing Titans gear still, but they were dancing to 22 by Taylor Swift with the caption, "Rumor has it." And his family, look, I'm not saying Taylor Swift isn't obviously sung by everybody and popular, but we should have known. 4 days ago, he's in his car all happy, and they're all singing Taylor Swift. 4 days later, he gets traded. We should have known.
Maybe Taylor made a call. She's, you know,
actually
Nashville.
Her jet's picking up.
What? She's Nashville based? Are we sure?
She's based in a lot of places.
Yeah, a lot of places
now.
But she was out of Nashville originally when she was like an up and coming musician. Do we think Taylor Swift had anything to do with this trade? Did she facilitate, you know? That's the real question now.
First of all, I would say absolutely not. But second, if for whatever reason, if it did come out that she, for whatever reason, made a call and her jet, if DeAndre Hopkins shows up on the Swift Eras Tour jet, people are going to lose it. People will lose it. You
like
know,
Travis is like, hey, I'm trying to get him in. Like, we really need him for Sunday.
They will lose it.
Your jet looks like it's still, like, I got the app or whatever. It looks like it's still in Nashville. Do you mind them just, like, giving him a little quick pop over here to Kansas City? That'd be great, hun. Do you mind? There's just no chance. Also, no. How does that know?
Everybody
do you know where you're,
upset.
Like, there's that famous clip from the Brooklyn Nets owner.
Okay.
When Stephen Colbert was interviewing right after he did, and he's like, well, I don't know where my yacht is. And he's like, well, what do you mean you don't know where your yacht is? He's like, when you got this amount of money, you just don't know where, like, things are all the time. You know, like, if I needed to get it, I'd figure it out. Do you think they just got, like, an app for the jet? Does she know where her jet is at all times? Or is it just like, somewhere where I need it?
Doesn't she have two?
She does. Do you know where the other jet is all the time? I guess is what I'm asking.
I mean, well,
do you have an app? Like, my kids have, like, a bus tracking app for when they get home from the bus. Do you just have that so you know where they're parked?
I don't think in that position you're worried about where your jet is. It's not just going to vanish. You have people that are in charge of your travel for you. You're not worried about, she's not filing the flight plan, you know? So he's got other, somebody else is handling the bookings for her travel.
You're saying, is there like a Find My Yacht app?
My new car from Volkswagen Lease Summer, right? I can just, like, it'll just show me where the car is on
GPS. Find my iPhone, please. Like, track it for me. Find my yacht.
Jet.
I don't know where it's at.
As correctly, by the way, pointed out by the text line, the Tennessee Titans have now made another trade.
Okay.
They have traded with the Seahawks. They are sending linebacker, the Seahawks are sending linebacker Jerome Baker and a fourth round draft pick to the Titans for Ernest Jones IV.
Who they traded with the Rams for like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah,
remember that?
Correct. So apparently the Seahawks are looking for a linebacker, or somebody's looking for a linebacker upgrade. The interesting part about the Titans is I hope they tank the hell out of it. They have a third round pick from the Titans because of the L'Jarius knee trade. That pick's been going up.
Yeah, the Titans are doing what they should be doing.
Heading straight up towards the second round.
Yeah, the Titans are doing what they should be doing. Trading Hopkins, get a draft pick. Trade these pieces, get a draft pick. They obviously know Will Levis is not their quarterback of the future. They need as many picks. It'll be year two next year of a rookie head coach, a young head coach. So they're doing what they need to do. They got to blow that thing up. That's why signing Calvin Ridley, signing Snead didn't really make a whole lot of sense. But for the Chiefs' sake, yeah, that pick is looking better and better.
They thought they were going to be good, though. Like, that's the truth.
I know.
They got a lot of yardage out of DeAndre Hopkins. They're like, maybe, you know, here's the thing. They're not good, but they did the thing you're supposed to do. If you got a young quarterback and you're not sure, at least give him some talent to find out. Cool, now you know. He stinks. Draft a quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, you gave him a chance to find out. The mistake teams have made before is not finding out whether that guy's no good.
Diana Rossini now reporting the Chiefs trade with DeAndre Hopkins is officially complete. All the final terms about what
timing.
The compensation could be with the conditional pick in terms of Super Bowl appearance, that kind of stuff, is now officially complete. He is on his way to Kansas City. Not that we were worried it was going to fall apart, but it's always good to know that it's official.
Question still is, what time is he getting to the airport? You and I are going to be there in like...
But if he's on the private jet, he's probably landing downtown. Spoiler, Cody and I are not flying private to Vegas this afternoon.
Oh,
I know you guys thought we were, but no, we actually are flying Southwest.
I was waiting for those photos of you guys hanging out in the private jet.
We might have a nice vehicle picking us up, but we will be flying commercial.
If any of you do own a private jet who listen to this station, Alex and I are willing to ride on it pretty much anywhere and for any reason. Does that sound about right to you?
Yes.
It doesn't have to be a jet. Would you just get on like a little like 8-seater?
No.
Wow, really?
No.
That's a private plane.
No.
You will get on an 8-seat plane? I'll do that too.
Keyword jet.
Jet. It has to be a PJ?
Nothing for you?
No prop. No small prop.
Get out of here. Get out of here.
No. Had a family member's distant family member recently on a small plane in Iowa, unfortunately, have a plane crash, so I'm out on the old small plane hopping on. Nope. No thank you. I'm out.
Mm. I'm willing to ride in that one, too. So, to be clear, I'm willing on any
kind. Also, on that small plane, it'd take us a little bit to get to Vegas, Cody. Need the jet.
I told you, I flew in one little, like, small commuter plane, essentially, that was privately owned, like, by my grandpa's friend or whatever, when I was, like, 10 years old, and I went to Breckenridge for the 4th of July.
What else is on your flight list? Because you said you haven't flown in a helicopter yet.
No, not on a helicopter. Well, I've been on a blimp. How have I been on a blimp but not a helicopter?
You're also missing out on a PJ.
Get on a helicopter.
So a helicopter and a private jet.
Well, I was on a small, like I was on like a, it was like a 6-seat plane. Does that count as a PJ? I mean, it was like, it wasn't a prop. It was like, you know, it flew like a jet, right? It was like a jet engine.
Sure, it counts.
Kind of feel like it counts. It counts as close as I'm
going
to be.
How quickly did you get where you were going, I guess, is the question.
I don't remember. I mean, I was a kid. I don't know. I was a kid.
I've never been on a private jet. I know that.
Not really sure. Someone says only commercial jetliners for them.
More details on DeAndre Hopkins. Ian Rappaport also saying the deal is done. Official terms here, the Titans are going to pay about half of Hopkins' salary. So I think that's $4 million, if I remember right, from the numbers we discussed earlier. Quote, it may take some time, but Hopkins will have to sign actually a new contract with the Titans. Then he'll get traded. So just because of how they're eating money and stuff, the Titans will technically sign Hopkins to a new contract and then trade him. That's the way it's going to be filed on the official NFL transaction log.
Yeah, which means they have to get that done in order for the Chiefs to take on. Because remember, the Chiefs only had $4 million.
That was part of the terms of the deal. This had to happen, yes.
They needed a player in which they could do that. Look, I woke up this morning and I was excited because DeAndre Hopkins makes the Chiefs better instantly.
So because the Titans still have to do the contract part, Andy's going to talk in 8 minutes. It's not going to be official by the time Andy's at the podium. So we're going to... I'm curious to see if he'll even say anything.
I mean, it's
we'll see.
It's reported though as complete. Maybe that's enough.
He might say, obviously he's a great player.
Still,
been in this league, you know.
Not sure if Brett's dotted the I's, crossed the T's.
Yeah, you know, I'll get back to you on that one. Brett's kind of finalizing that. Obviously, you guys are aware of what's out there. Yeah, yeah. That's basically what we'll get. Something like that.
For those asking, yes, I have traveled by train.
Have I traveled by train? I haven't been on an Amtrak, if that's what you mean.
I've been on a train a couple times.
Cody and Gold train ride to St. Louis for the Chiefs Royals I-70 series next year.
Does Subway count? Or you're talking legit?
Oh, I've been
train.
On a Subway.
No, I'm talking train. Like I'm not chugga, also chugga 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 choo choo. You know, train.
You know,
do not Subway.
I take that back. I've been on one in Chicago from a suburb into the city. That's a train. So I have.
Okay, there you go. On the L.
Boy, in the city, that's technically, multiple. I'm talking about there's one like further out. But yes, I've been in city.
See, you've been on multiple trains. You're good. I took a train to Jeff City when we were in high school for some like, some conference thing.
Text slide is now flight tracking for us. They gave us they gave us a flight number. Uh-huh. There's a flight leaving Nashville on an executive airshare flight. Thank you. He's on his way. All right. He's on
this
his way.
This is like college recruiting. Head coach
search. I was on a runway when Charlie Weiss landed in Lawrence. That one's a funny one to look back at.
What a
Everybody
waste
was
of time
excited
was.
At the
what
time.
A waste of time.
Charlie
that was
Weiss
by you.
May have committed a federal crime running across an active runway to get to the
Jets. Yeah, I'd say not maybe of any part.
It's been 15 years. I think we're good.
Yeah, they're not going to charge you, but you definitely committed that.
Oh, crime. Yes. Yes, I think that happened. Anyway, up next, we're expected to hear from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes right here on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
We are expected to hear from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes any minute now. If they're running a little late today, I think we might know why that is the case. But that's what we're waiting at this point in time. Also, as multiple people have pointed out, we looked it up as well. Yes, there is a private jet flight scheduled from Nashville to downtown Wheeler Airport, scheduled to leave actually 5 minutes ago initially. It keeps getting pushed back. Maybe they got to get that contract signed. If you're just joining us, the contract I'm talking about is because the Titans are eating money. Ian Rappaport is reporting that he actually has to sign a new deal with Tennessee first and then get traded, just processing in the way they have to make everything official.
Chiefs really broke, man. They ain't got no money. They're like, hey, can you sign him? Can you sign him to a brand new contract in order for us to go make the trade? I mean, it's fine. I don't care.
Yeah.
But it does make sense based on that.
I think the beautiful thing about this trade, though, is if you were a fan out there and you were worried about giving up too much for any receiver, and you're like, hey, they're in the middle of this run right now. I want to keep this thing going for years and years and years. We got a lot of text over the last week or so like, nope, don't want to give up basically anything. Certainly don't want to give up a fourth rounder or third rounder. Then there's the other faction of fans that said, hey, whatever it takes. You gave up a fifth round pick. You didn't have to mortgage the future to do this. But let's hear from Andy Reid right now on 96.5 The Fan.
We'll just have to see how things go as we go forward. Look forward to the challenge of playing the Raiders. Good football team. Antonio does a nice job with that group, as do his coordinators, Patrick, Luke, and then Tom, who you guys know. And they've got Marv Lewis on that staff, too, who he and I go way back a lot of years, so knowing each other. But all good football coaches, and they've got good players. So we got to make sure we have a good week of practice, and we'll get that going today. So. That time's yours.
Coach, I know nothing's official about DeAndre Hopkins. The league tweeted out he's joining your team. Maybe not specifically about him being on your team, but you've competed against him many times over the years. Just what kind of player has he been to compete against?
Yeah, Veach is dealing with all that, so I'm hush on that. Yeah.
With Juju, did he just maybe push it too hard to try to get back and play? I know he wanted to play. Probably be a little more cautious with him now? Or
yeah, we'll be cautious with him, yeah. We thought we were being cautious the last time, so with him. But this time it's a little bit worse, so, yeah.
Just around the league, there's been a lot of injuries with a lot of wide receivers. Do you have any kind of pulse on just why it's been?
Yeah, I mean, these things are kind of secular. They happen like that. But I don't have an answer for you now.
Yeah. Andy Hopkins is not here, and he will not be practicing today. Is that right?
I know nothing.
Okay. Andy, last time you guys played the Raiders, obviously, was the last time you lost. It's probably hard to summarize, but what was it that you pushed off from after that game that sort of reset your team late last year?
Yeah, they came in and got after us. And, that's their personality, and so we didn't handle that the right way, but I thought we learned from it. And got better for it, which was the important thing after something like that.
It helped you know what your own strengths and weaknesses were a little more, to how to contour to that. Is that fair to say?
No, I don't think necessarily. I just think we, we could have been a little bit more ready, which is my responsibility, and that part didn't take place.
Coach Kareem Hunt and you guys called runs between the tackles record times in 16. How tough is somewhat of an identity shift on the fly when circumstances call for some of these guys?
Yeah, well, I mean, in his case, I mean, it was important, I mean, for him to, for himself, you know, to come in and do well. And he had stayed in shape, which I think was important. And he's been able to contribute and help us keep moving forward. And, you know, I think everybody appreciates that part. But I think most of all, he was on a mission to get that, you know, make it right. And so my hat goes off to the kid for that.
Andy, with the players that you have on board, we're about to talk to McColl and Jaden on both sides of the ball. Just what are you seeing at the confidence level on the receivers that you presently have on the roster? And then obviously the defensive matchup.
Yeah, sure. I like the receivers we have. I've mentioned that before. We've got guys that can step in and play, and everybody has confidence in them. So. You know, that we're fortunate that way. I think Veach has done a good job with all that and given everybody, you know, all the coaches an opportunity to be successful because of that. And these guys, opportunities, you know, when they arise, they've got to take advantage of them, and that's what they do. And people believe in them.
Andy, back to Kareem Hunt for a second. How have you seen him make a difference in the running game? Are there specific ways that you've seen him come in and give you guys a lift that way?
Well, I mean, we had Pop before that, and then the guys that stepped in for Pop did a nice job. So, and rotated with him. And so we've, you know, he's just a different style. They're all of them are actually different, and but he's got that pounded in at you style, and that's it's helped us, you know, that way. So you lose a great player like we did with Pacheco, and you know these other guys step up, and Kareem come off the street and help us out. That's great, and you know we still have Hilaire sitting back there, who's a great player too. So you know, it's a good position to be in, is it, from a coach's standpoint.
Andy, with the player Max Crosby's caliber, what do you kind of have to be mindful of? Whatever your call plays there.
Yeah, I mean everything. He's a great player. You know, he's one of the best in the business of what he does, and he's going to give you an honest down every down. So he doesn't take plays off, and our guys know that and respect the heck out of him. So you know you got to be ready to play four quarters against him.
Todd, Coach, you guys, you know, maybe in June you thought your roster was going to be before the injuries. You probably had a whole big scheme plan for the season, and as Pete mentioned, on the fly you've had to kind of change a lot of things. I know you love drawing up plays and you work tirelessly. Has this been a different kind of year to do that, and who have maybe you leaned on the staff to kind of work through all of that stuff?
Yeah, all the coaches do a great job. We really haven't had to change much. I mean, the guys have stepped in and done a nice job, so we've been able to ride that part of it. But I'm fortunate to have coaches that are great teachers and motivators. The guys like to play for them. And so it's, you know, they want to do well. The players want to do well. The coaches want to do well. So I'm fortunate that way.
Andy, with Hollywood Brown, I mean, when he first got injured and had the re-injury, I thought that the timeline was pretty lengthy. I just wondered in the past few weeks, have you had any more finite possibility that he's back for you this year?
Yeah, he's doing great. That I can tell you. He's doing great. Seems to be on schedule or a little bit ahead of schedule. So I can't tell you that. I mean, I don't know that. It's going to be a while.
Yep. F22.
You're listening to the 96.5 The Fan, KFNZ, FM and AM, HD1 and HD2 in Kansas City.
We're going to head back out to Andy Reid and hear the rest of his press conference.
Doing very well for what he's got there. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Coach.
Oh, well, okay. Well,
damn it. That was real smooth, guys.
I'm glad we went back. Glad we went back out there. Look, we got the answer we thought we were going to get from Andy Reid. He was asked.
Might have given us more in Hollywood.
On Andy, you know, he was asked about DeAndre Hopkins. Said, quote, Veach is dealing with all that. I'm hushed on that. He was then asked if DeAndre Hopkins is here or if he will be practicing. And he said,
I know nothing.
Which will be a good drop for us to have forever. Thank you. Appreciate that.
I know nothing.
Yeah.
Andy Reid when it's 2nd and 1 from the 3-yard line.
Yeah.
I know nothing.
What? Oh, I can't make jokes. This team's undefeated. I can't make one crack. One crack, because one joke about the only thing he messes up. Might be the only thing I don't
also,
like.
Also, no, by all accounts, DeAndre Hopkins is not in Kansas City yet. There is reportedly, and we have it pulled up, there's a private jet from Nashville that was scheduled to leave 15 minutes ago for Kansas City, and it still has not taken off yet.
Trade over. So. They're backing out.
You guys got yanked into physical. To follow me in now, too.
I got to pull that one out. Why not have fun? It's a fun day. It's a fun day. Why not? The team's 6-0. They just added a receiver. Even if he's not the superstar he was 4 years ago, he is still a big addition. It's a huge trade that we didn't think was necessarily going to happen today. That's the other part. DeAndre Hopkins in the past had been linked to Kansas City, but his name was not the name that everybody was talking about to get traded here in the last 48 hours. That name was Cooper Kupp. That name was Deontay Johnson or Darius Slayton. That's, I mean, waking up today and seeing this news, and it sounds like from all the reporting, including from our own Bob Fesco earlier this morning, like this was something that was happening overnight, and it was something that maybe kind of got finalized around 5 o'clock this morning. So that's what makes it fun and exciting. Spoiler, in this business, I love when something like new and fresh and breaking happens. It's the best. We can plan out our show like we did all we want yesterday, but when something breaking happens, it's kind of fun. Anyway, let's hear from Patrick Mahomes.
Acquired players over the years, had to get them ready. What's the process of if someone new were to come in, getting them ready for a game in a couple days?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is just getting with the coaches. I think our coaches do a great job of getting guys up to speed, and you've seen that throughout this year already. Bringing in guys, getting them up to speed fast, and then letting them go out there and make impact and do what they're great at. And so that's stuff that I think the coaches really do well. And then at me as a quarterback, I just try to be on the same page with the guys that are in there whenever I'm taking a snap.
Patrick, how pathetic that you had a receiver that was good at contested catches. Like, what's your comfort level in throwing like those sorts of throws on the field?
Yeah, I think in my time, we've had receivers that can make some of those contested catches, and once you build that relationship and build that trust, you put them up there and let guys go out there and make plays. I think that's what's special about Coach Reed's offense is that it adapts to whoever's in there. He has different ways he can utilize your strengths, and then it's my job to go out there and put guys in chances, give them chances to go out there and make plays.
What's your biggest takeaway, Patrick, going through the experience before the past 2 years of bringing in a receiver midseason, whatever? Perhaps a good takeaway that you learned from it and something that you can use from that experience for this new one?
I think the biggest thing for me is whenever a new guy gets into the building, it's just getting on that same page as quickly as possible. Even with guys like Kareem in the running back position, just being able to talk with him throughout the protection calls, talk with him kind of throughout the plays, making sure he knows what his job is to do, and then letting him go out and execute it. And I've dealt with that throughout my entire career, bringing new guys in. That's part of the NFL. And I think the coaches do a great job of making sure guys are prepared and so they can go out there and have success.
Patrick, what do you remember most about that last Raiders game last year, and what sort of it did for you guys, the mentality after that?
I think more than anything, more than even the play on the field, I think it was just a wake-up call for us to know that we're not going to be able to just come to the game and win. We kind of battled through the year, and it was like everybody was just kind of – we were just trying to build, especially I feel like myself, we were just building for the playoffs. We weren't even worried about the regular season, and I think you've seen that mentality since then as the guys are really taking – every single practice and getting the best out of it so that every single week we can play our best football. And if we don't play our best football, we try to get better that next week. And I think that's translated into this season. And so we're continuing to get better as the season goes on. And that's how you have to play in the NFL. And it's still early, but I feel like we've had a great start to it.
It seemed to be that it would be just as much that way. You're just as conscious of that way as ever now that you're actually playing the Raiders again. Like that mentality is – what would be in front of your mind?
Yeah, I mean, we know we're going to get their best shot. I mean, that's kind of how it's been every single week. But obviously, when you play a divisional opponent, like I've said in the past, it's a real rivalry between our two teams and our two organizations. You're going to get their best shot, and we're gonna go out there and match that and let the best team win.
Is there any more to this one? I know they all count the same, divisional games, whatever, but, you know, the talk afterwards, if they have the secret, how to stop you, the little Kermit the Frog thing, all that stuff. Does that resonate with you at all this week?
I mean, I don't know if you would say resonates with me. I think just knowing that the competitive spirit that they have on that side is going to match the competitive spirit that we have. I think it's going to be a fun football game that we're going to get the best out of each and every player on that football field. And like I said, the best team will win.
Patrick, with a guy like Max Crosby, what do you have to be mindful of when you're back there?
Yeah, I mean, you have to know where he's at on every single snap because he plays – extremely hard every single snap, and he's extremely talented. And to have a guy that be that talented and that have that high of a motor, that's special. It takes a lot because you don't always feel great, and you might not be getting. He gets chipped or he gets whatever it is. He doesn't let that bother him. He doesn't let that affect him. He just keeps playing extremely hard every single snap. And so, a great challenge for us to go up against him in that defense. And so, I think the guys are ready for it.
You guys have jawed back and forth a little bit, you and Max. Just how would you describe the respect level between you guys, you know, when it is off the field?
Yeah, it's a high level of respect. I mean, I respect guys that are going to leave it out there every single snap and do whatever they can to let their team have a chance to win. And that's the type of guys I want in this building. And that's what you see with guys on our team is that guys are going to lay it on the line every single snap to win the football game. And that's what it takes to be great in this league because, I mean, everybody's good. I mean, everybody's good in this league. It's about who's going to do the extra thing, the extra step, the extra pass rusher, the extra throw, whatever it is to make sure their team has a better chance to win. And he's one of those guys. And we're on the field. We're going to compete because that's the type of guys that we are. But we have a ton of respect mutually between each other off of it.
Let's go across the room, Adam. Go ahead, Maya.
Just not to linger on this too much, Patrick, but that shot you took to the throat the other day, did you hear anything from Collins, or do you have any reason to know by now whether it was inadvertent or you felt bad about it?
I honestly don't think it's that big of a deal. I mean, it's not like anyone got hurt or anything like that. I mean, I threw an interception. I was more upset about the interception than actually getting hit. So whenever you throw an interception, you set yourself up to get hit by somebody, and so that's on me.
Dennis?
As a quarterback who spent so much time with the receivers during their offseason, I mean, bring guys down there and work with them, how big of a difference is it between having that whole offseason to work with a guy and that short time? I mean, clearly it's a difference, but how big of a difference is it for timing and stuff?
Yeah, I mean, it probably affects some things, I think, at least initially. But at the same time, I mean, in this league, you have to be able to adapt fastly. And I think that's something that we've been great at is putting guys in position to succeed, getting the reps when we can throughout the week. And then at the end of the day, you got to go out there and play football. And obviously, you want as much time as possible. But at the same time, you have to be able to adapt and on the fly and make stuff happen whenever you're out there.
Your long run down the sideline last week, people have kind of gone back and looked at it. They think it was like somewhat controversial. It looked like you were going to go out of bounds. What's that line like to make sure that they don't think you're going out of bounds and following whatever rules are, as you know, as far as like the unwritten rules of football?
I didn't believe on that play right there I was really showing like I was going to go out of bounds. I don't want to ever put a defender in a bad spot. I mean, I know that we're all competing, so I'm going to when I go out of bounds, I'm going to go out of bounds. I'm not going to try to fake a guy out by using like a loophole in the rules. I was going to cut back and get the first down. And then once I cut back, I was going to do one of those dives for the first down, but I cut back and realized I had a lane to run. So I went down the sideline, and then, I mean, I literally ran out of bounds on that exact play. So when I go out of bounds, I'm going to go out of bounds. And whenever I'm trying to get a first down, I'll get a first down. But I'm not trying to use a loophole or anything in the rules to try to cheat in any way.
Go ahead.
Patrick, last Friday night, you guys got to be on him for a pretty good high school football game. Got to watch Coach Nagy's son lead a game-winning drive. How important is it for professionals such as yourselves to have a presence like that in the community?
Yeah, I think, I mean, one in the community, I think the Chiefs organization in general has had a great history of having a great presence in the community. It's something that Clark Hunt talks about in the first meeting we have every single year is giving back to the community because they give so much to us and being at Arrowhead every single week and showing support to our foundations. And so just being out there, being at a game, being at a sport I love, letting my kids run around, and then seeing Coach Nagy's son and Coach Merritt's son go at it. I mean, those kids I've seen grow up. So it's cool to see them live out their dream. Both of them will move on and go to Division I colleges. And so it was cool to see their last matchup that they'll get to go up against each other, and it was a great football game.
We'll do our last four. Go ahead, Adam.
Patrick, in what ways have you seen Kareem make a difference in the running game since he's been here?
Yeah, I think he's just done a great job of getting what's there and then making plays whenever his number's called. He seems like every single time he's falling forward, getting 5 yards, 6 yards, whatever it is, and that makes my job easier at the quarterback position and the offense just in general when you're in those advantageous situations and down and distances. And so Kareem has done a great job. He's done a great job not only running the ball, catching the ball. He's done a great job in pass protection. I think as we start getting more and more guys back and healthier, he might not have to have 30 carries or whatever it is, but whenever he gets his opportunity, he's going to go out there and make it count.
Harold?
I guess that's it.
They cut off Harold, huh? They cut off our guy Harold Kuntz.
In fairness, he said last question with Adam, and then, you know, maybe they just changed their mind. One, he's also not going to say much about DeAndre Hopkins. Maybe this goes back to the Jeremy Maclin collusion case a billion years ago where Andy was docked a third-round pick. They're going to play it safe till this deal is official, so we won't hear more about DeAndre Hopkins either. But this mini controversy, seemingly outside of Kansas City, is the most crybaby version of this I've seen yet. This frustration over Patrick Mahomes supposedly putting a defender in an undefensible situation where he can't even tackle the man or he'll be called for 15 yards. Like Patrick Mahomes somehow leads the league in roughing calls. He doesn't. We've done this math. Gold, you've pointed out the math in this. He actually statistically ranks as one of the worst at getting calls of personal fouls against him. He's just trying to get a first down. You heard him. They decided not to guard the sideline, so we got to keep running. On that same play, he ran out of bounds.
Yes.
So like this mini contract, and it's only outside of Kansas City and from whiny fans who want to use the Kansas City is getting every call against them nonsense. He didn't do anything wrong on that play. He went for a first down. They didn't guard, and you got to run for another 30 yards. That's on you.
Yeah, you brought it to my attention yesterday. I wasn't even aware that fans outside of Kansas City were complaining about that play. I didn't even think it. You brought that to my attention yesterday. I was like, wait, that's really a thing? And clearly, I guess it is outside of this city. Also, you're right. He ran out of bounds later in the play, but you can't tackle him late, even if he was out of bounds. Nobody is saying, though, near the sideline, you can still put some hands on him. My goodness. So, like, it's an excuse. No, the defenders played it wrong. They either thought he was going out of bounds or Mahomes was smart and cut up and they had a bad angle on the play. That happens. Same thing in the AFC title game. Just add that to the list of people's annoyance with Kansas City. Anything they can point out that they think is the reason why the Chiefs are having success and their team sucks, they're going to come up with. Why are the Chiefs 6-0? They got all these. They're still winning. It's just not fair. They're going for a three.
The league wants Taylor Swift to win.
DeAndre Hopkins, you got traded there. Now there'll be some excuse that'll claim that wasn't fair to trade for him. It shouldn't be so annoying, but it is, and that's why we were joking earlier with Ross Tucker. If this team does somehow find a way to not only three-peat, but which would be in its own right another FU to the rest of the league, if they can somehow have a perfect season while they do that, then there truly is nothing, and I mean nothing that anybody can ever say, and there's an easy automatic response. They won close. We almost beat them. That crap is already happening. None of it matters, and so you get stuff like this where you have not players, but fans in other cities upset that Patrick Mahomes was able to run down the sideline, for crying out loud.
Yeah, I mean, it just comes with the winning, and I should probably just accept it. But him having to answer questions on what is, my opinion, a non-controversy doesn't make any sense based on at least this. Now back to DeAndre Hopkins for a minute.
I know nothing.
Obviously, everyone is familiar with the Hopkins news at this point that according to multiple reports, it's finalized. They just got to rework the contract. Everything's been agreed to and everything else in between there. Good to go, at least on that end. But the question being related to whether or not this was the right deal. You and I both know Deontay Johnson may be on the block for multiple teams. Darius Slayton's been mentioned in trade stuff. Hell, a week ago, you could have had Amari Cooper for a third instead of a fifth. That obviously the fifth could turn into a fourth if the Chiefs go to the Super Bowl. Here's the thing. I like this trade. I want to make that clear before I say it. But if you had told me a week ago, these are the two trades on the table, a fifth round for DeAndre Hopkins or a third round for Amari Cooper, I'd have made the Amari Cooper deal. You want to be honest? I'd have probably made that deal instead. But also, wouldn't it have to be a second for the, because like the Bills pick, even though it's bad in the third round, it's not as bad as the Chiefs.
And that's where some of the reporting was that it was going to take a second. Because the Hopkins trade does make you wonder more why they didn't have interest in Amari Cooper. I think now we have our answer. We were wondering, was it one of three things? Was it age? Was it draft pick compensation? Was it finances? Well, if we take a look at the DeAndre Hopkins trade, the age clearly was not, because Hopkins is 2 years older than Amari Cooper. So it was not because Amari Cooper was old, because Hopkins is older. Was it the finances? No, because the Titans are eating half the salary on Hopkins, but it's still $4 million, and Cooper's $800,000 is what the Bills are paying. So what's the one outlier? The draft pick compensation that the Chiefs were not willing to give up,
because this seems
a
like
day
better,
to
yeah, less
pick.
Money for
yeah,
Cooper.
That has to be the only reason. I mean, either that or they just like flat out for whatever, you just don't like Amari Cooper. Like, I think it's very clear that it is the draft pick compensation why that trade did not happen.
Do you think that that's just because, like, we just talked about the cap situation, just they're thinking their need for more draft picks down the road is going to become important, because, or just their current success rate? Because I don't know if you've paid attention, but the Chiefs' defensive roster is almost entirely drafted players. I mean, like a shockingly high percentage of their entire defensive roster is drafted players. Both starting cornerbacks, 80% of the starting defensive line, most of the secondary. I think it's just Justin Reed maybe and Drew Tranquil. That might be the only two defensive starters who weren't drafted by them. Or just like, you know, some teams value draft picks versus, or assets versus. This just felt like a year where they had an extra third round pick. If there's a time to trade for Cooper, I am a little surprised if this is the deal they were willing to make, that Cooper wouldn't have been more on the table. Although, in fairness, when the Amari Cooper trade was made, Juju Smith-Schuster was healthy.
Yes, yes.
So, like, that's not nothing, right? Juju Smith-Schuster was physically able to be on a football field when that deal happened.
Yeah, I think there was way more urgency. They had to make a move once Juju went down. Let's remember what DeAndre Hopkins is likely to do. I know in the past we viewed him as a guy that was running on the outside, and yes, the contested catches are very much a thing. But I think for the Chiefs, he is going to give them the inside routes more than anything else. They lost that with Rice. They lost that with Juju Smith-Schuster. That, to me, you're going to see Hopkins in the slot plenty as well. Yeah, he can make the outside catch, but I think at this point in his career, we're going to see him in some of the inside routes, giving them the underneath stuff that we saw from a few other players. By the way, I'm fine with them not willing to trade a second or a third round pick for any play. That, I understand the logic there. Brett
Veach,
giving
them a third round in each of the last two drafts, so it's not been an unwillingness.
No, but I'm fine if that's the reason. We didn't know the reason before. It's just now very obvious why they didn't make the Amari Cooper trade, because they're getting a receiver that's older and they're giving up actually more money to make it happen for Hopkins.
Is any part of this, you know, Brett Veach, the learning robot, just like anybody else, is any part of the unwillingness to give up a third round pick the relative production you got out of back-to-back third round pick trades each of the last two seasons? They gave up a third for Mecole Hardman. They gave up a third for Kadarius Toney. I don't want to get back into whether they won the trade or not, but from a pure, well, because everyone's going to have a different opinion. If you're just saying statistically, they didn't, right? If you're saying GoldenEye's stance has been, if you win the Super Bowl, essentially, I don't care what moves you made, they worked. Well, then you can't really argue against that on the other side.
Yeah.
But from a pure production standpoint, the third round picks they gave up, they did not get great value out of that, out of the production standpoint. Toney was pretty much a non-factor in this offense, except for 1 2-yard catch in a Super Bowl and one punt return. And then Mecole Hardman was more of an effect last year, but still mostly just that one catch in the Super Bowl and a punt return, right?
Walk off, like, touchdown in overtime.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. And again, that goes back to the value part. But when they traded for those players, they thought they would be involved in the offense, and they weren't. So part of me thinks that the reason Brett Veach was unwilling to give up a third round pick in the middle of the year for a third consecutive year is because 2 years previous they had done it, had not gotten the value out of it. They wanted to reduce their cost on it.
You might be right. You might be right. I would hope that's not the reason. I think Brett Veach is way too good of a GM for that to be the reason. What I mean by that is, I don't think you should not make a move because you're afraid that it will, quote unquote, fail.
No, but I think
fail.
It happens.
It might. That's what I'm saying. I don't think it's wild to suggest that that's what is occurring. I'm just saying, I don't think that's how you should operate, and I don't think that's necessarily how Brett Veach operates, considering I think he's the best GM in football now. It looks even more so than ever based off of Howie Roseman getting fleeced for trading for Jahan Dotson with the Commanders. You know, real quick, the Eagles gave him a third-round pick for Jahan Dotson from the Commanders. Jahan Dotson, look at his stats this year. They gave up just as much compensation as the Bills gave up for Amari Cooper.
They got ripped off.
That's the genius Howie Roseman in Philadelphia that we're told is better than Brett Veach. Anyway, back to...
I don't know why people are still on that.
Not in Kansas City, obviously.
It's because the draft thing, I think, is all...
Draft thing? Have you watched Brett Veach's hit rate?
I think it's the Georgia Bulldog, all that stuff.
It's working out great for them in Philly recently. But, like, you know... That's a whole separate topic, but that's my fault. As far as Brett Veach and his unwillingness or more willingness to trade, I don't think that is impacting what compensation they're willing to give up. Like, oh man, we gave up a third round pick for Kadarius Toney. It didn't quote unquote work, even though I think it did, but it didn't work. We won't do that again. Different players, different years, different circumstances. I don't think you operate in that way. I just don't believe a general manager of his quality operates that way.
I wonder if this is not the reason, but it's a little bit underlying. Yeah. When they made the Toney trade, he's going to be here longer than just this year? Where there, it's a rent for them. They're all in on the three-peat. They want this 1 year. Is it worth one? Is it worth 10? Is it worth 10 games? 15 games? For a third round pick. I wonder if that might be the reason why he didn't go Amari, because he's like, we're not going to bring him back next year. I don't want to spend that amount on Amari Cooper, where I can spend a fifth on DeAndre. And
a sixth, I guess, for McColl, not a third. But like,
so one time they gave him a third, it was Toney.
I don't know if that had anything to do with. I'm not willing to separate a third round pick that could be used for the future for 12 games or 15 games.
You know what I'm saying, though? Is like, they've already shown a willingness to do that, but it was for a controllable player. Which obviously Kadarius Toney was. They thought they were going to get more than 1 year out of Toney. That didn't obviously pan out. But like, technically he was on the roster for more than a year, but you know, whatever. Yeah. But so like, when you look at it, they've shown a willingness to do this. So like, if you're saying why this one versus that one, there are only two real logical answers. Unless it is that he didn't want to give it up for a third consecutive year, give up more draft pick compensation for wide receiver. They haven't seemed to have a problem with that. So like, it is either... they just like DeAndre Hopkins fit in the offense better than they like Amari Cooper's. That could be one of the potential reasons. Or what you said, Gold, the more logical reason, which is they didn't want to give up a third, a second. They didn't want to have to pay that kind of price. But then the issue with that line of thinking is there's a ton of reporting that suggests they called up the Rams and were like, hey, what do you guys need for old Cooper Kupp? And at least they were trying, and they would have known that that was going to cost more than a fifth.
Yeah, so I guess I disagree with that. I disagree with that. Like, there's reporting they called. Just because they called the Rams doesn't mean they were willing to give up a second or third round pick. Quite the opposite. They called. The Rams can ask for a second round pick. Until the Rams get a second round pick, it doesn't mean that's what they're actually getting.
I just think you know that it's better than a fifth. When you make that, when you pick up that phone call.
Might have been a conditional third, might have been a conditional fourth, but Cooper Kupp, if he gets traded for a second round pick, that team that trades for him is making a big mistake.
It's a big risk.
Who the hell is giving up a second round pick for Cooper Kupp in 2024?
Tampa Bay might be that desperate. Yeah, that'd be the only team that I think would do it.
Who's leading that division right now?
I think it's still Tampa, isn't it? Or is it the Falcons? I think the Falcons and Tampa are both tied at 4-3.
Divisions. You're right. The Saints are 2-5, and the Panthers are the worst team in football. So, I mean.
And the Falcons haven't been all of what we thought they might be, I guess, to this point.
I mean, we just pretend. Yeah, they haven't. But also, like, that goes back to the same thing. This is the draft pick compensation thing is funny because I'm assuming you saw too. There are some Chiefs fans that think they've paid too high a price. And I am stunned by that. Like, what do you think? A fifth? A fifth? Like, so that you just didn't want them to trade for a wide receiver? Like, you straight up thought that they should just go with Sky Moore. Like, what did you want them to give up? They should just go with Sky Moore?
You know the response is going to be. You know the response, right?
What?
You know their answer to your question, I don't agree with. Their answer is, we have Justin Ross. We have Nico Remigio, Cody. There's Hunter Renfrow in free agency. That's the response.
But if you've ever, fine. But if that's your response, you better never have ever said, I've said this with other things, you better have never once said in your life the sentence "in Veach we trust." Because if it's that, then it can't be both. Brett Veach has enough ammunition to do good things in the draft per usual. good teams, this is like a minor league farm system. Good teams use their draft assets to improve their team in a given year. I also think that we never want to admit, because you don't want people thinking in the micro necessarily, they should be more aggressive this year. I'm sorry. They've won two Super Bowls in a row. They're 6-0. They've got a Hall of Fame quarterback. They should be more aggressive this year. If they got to overpay, like you talked about the Cooper Kupp thing, some teams would be stupid for overpaying for Cooper Kupp. This team, I actually don't think, would have been stupid for overpaying for Cooper Kupp.
This is the kind
of team who should overpay.
Yeah,
if you're going to do it, it should be you.
If I woke up today and they gave up a second for Cooper Kupp, I would not be telling you I like the trade, I can promise you.
By everyone's logic, it's practically a third. You know?
Gosh, not that again.
I don't.
Not that again. Not that again. Not that again.
You know I don't feel that way.
Well, and see, the difference too, so I've been the draft guy. Like, Bink and I have been the draft guy. That's compared to Sky Moore, Kadarius Toney. Just if you can get DeAndre Hopkins, what fifth round pick is going to give? I know he might not be all pro DeAndre Hopkins, but he's a three-time like all pro wide receiver. Like what, like giving up a fifth round pick for that, it's like a home run. I don't know how it would be seen as giving up too much, even though if he gives them how many games have they played, six, if he gives you 500 yards the rest of the season and six touchdowns.
Yeah, it's not even.
I don't even know if you can put numbers on it.
What a compliment, by the way, that the only reason people think it's too much is because Brett Veach is too good at drafting fifth rounders.
Other than that,
you wouldn't care. Yeah. If you looked at any other team's fifth rounders, you'd be like, who cares?
Right.
To your point, though, if they're going for the three-peat, so next year doesn't matter, but they have two-thirds.
That's true, Drew. I don't know what they're going to do when they're going for the four-peat. They're going to be just as aggressive when they go for the four-peat next year. They're going to just continue to make history and extend this thing out so it's untouchable, so nobody can ever touch them. Mm. That is true. No, in all seriousness, I don't know, Drew, if the stats even are a good way to directly...
Probably not.
What it is for them, obviously, come playoff time, how does he perform, number one. But,
sure.
But for the time being, crucial catches... Someone third Mahomes can trust on third weapon, down, yeah. Red zone targets. Can he get it? Can he help them with their red zone issues because he can have the contested catches? I don't think he's going to. I don't need him having six catches, 85 yards, and a touchdown every other week. Like that, if you're expecting that, I think you're going to be disappointed anyway. But that's not where we're at with this team right now. That's not what they're looking for. I mean, they would love it, but that's
I don't
not
need that
what,
right away.
Yeah. If you think too, okay, so let's say Hollywood comes back for the playoffs. Forget the regular.
Okay.
The wide receiver room would still be better, you could argue, than it was last year if DeAndre Hopkins is good enough.
Healthy D-Hop, healthy Juju, healthy at that time Hollywood Brown.
They had a top 15 wide receiver in the NFL last year in Rashee Rice. He was so good.
Like, a lot of it just depends on what.
If you have DeAndre, healthy Hollywood, healthy Xavier Worthy, Pacheco's, but I feel like it's... I think it's better collectively. Just
and two running backs, you would argue at that point with Kareem Hunt, like
and Travis and Noah.
I would argue everybody like would have to be healthy.
A 32-year-old DeAndre Hopkins and a coming off injury Hollywood. You know, like there are facts around it. You know, like that would make me
quote unquote healthy guy.
I wouldn't say no. By the way, I did look it up. Brett Veach is great in a lot of rounds. The fifth, that ain't the one. That's why he's willing to trade. This year was Hunter Norzad.
Oh, we the jury's don't still know. Out.
Hold on, I'm just giving you the facts that nobody claims I missed one. B.J. Thompson.
Okay.
Darian Kennard. He's not even on this team anymore.
He is not. Right? I don't know if he's on any team.
Noah Gray. That was a pretty good fifth rounder.
Got a second contract already.
Cornell Powell.
Practice squad just signed back. Mm-hmm.
And then, let's see. They don't have a fifth rounder a lot of years. Michael Dana. That's the only other
one.
I feel like he's the best one of the bunch for fifth rounds.
That's actually not too bad. That's not a bad decent hit rate. That's not a bad hit rate. Yeah,
he's best general manager in the NFL. There was one other thing that Andy Reid said about the wide receivers. It was actually about Hollywood Brown. I want to get to that on the other side. Some promising update, I would say, when it comes to Hollywood Brown's status right now. We'll get to that and talk about the type of wide receiver the Chiefs are getting in DeAndre Hopkins next on Cody and Gold.